R-E-A-L.
Responsible eating, responsible eating, responsible eating and living.
Hello, I'm Karen Hartglass and you're listening to Ask a Vegan. And it is Sunday, June 24th. And I am actually broadcasting from Cape Cod. I literally just arrived. So we drove here from New York City, and it was an incredible day today. Beautiful, beautiful, clear, sunny, lovely day. And we just got here just in time for me to do this show. And thanks to the brilliance of technology, I have been able to connect to the world with the internet and tune in so that I could do my show, because it's really important to me to do this on a regular basis, to talk to anyone who is interested about this very important phenomenon that is happening in the world today, and that is people realizing the importance of eating plant foods and the importance of rejecting animal foods. And it's a movement, it's a phenomenon, it's an evolution. It is a very important process that's going on, and if I can at all help anyone during this journey, I am honored and privileged and happy to do so. So what I want to do is, at least on a weekly basis, put myself out there and talk about being vegan, why it's so important, how to do it, why it's wonderful to do it, why the food is so delicious, why you feel so good, and how important it is to make this change for the planet, for everyone who lives on this planet, every human, every animal, every plant species. This is an important, important action. And this week in particular, I'm more motivated than ever. There's lots of reasons why I do this, for personal reasons. If you've listened to me and listened to this show before, you know that I came to being a vegetarian when I was a child, when I was a teenager. I simply decided I didn't want to kill animals. It was something instinctual, something that I hadn't thought about until I had heard about someone else being a vegetarian, and all of a sudden, for me, the light went on. And for each one of us, we all have our own stories, our own epiphanies, our own individual journey where the veil at some point is lifted. And many times, for many people, that never happens, or it happens to certain degrees, and for others more so. But I'm finding, I was talking about this the other day, who was I talking? I think it was with Victoria Moran. I interviewed her 2 weeks ago on my other show on Progressive Radio Network. It's all about food. And I realized it's like a snowball effect. So originally there were a few little flakes, people that decided they wanted to be vegan. And sometimes those flakes melted, but now there are more and more snowflakes, and we're turning into this big ball that's rolling down the hill and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And as more people accept this lifestyle, it becomes easier for more people to do it, and then more people realize how wonderful it is. They see the people that are doing this vegan thing and how healthy and how full of energy we are, and there's this happy glow. It's addicting, and it's just a beautiful thing. And I'm feeling that more and more people are doing it, more people are curious about it. It's less weird than it used to be. This is great. So last week I was talking to Sue Coe and Gary Steiner on my show, It's All About Food, on Wednesday. And please, if you haven't heard that show, it really is something I recommend. I think it was one of the best ones, at least for me. I got more motivated than any other time before, just listening to Sue Coe and Gary Steiner and the reasons why it's so important for people to be eating a vegan diet today. And for the most part, I like to talk about the joyful reasons for being vegan, eating the healthy food, how it makes you feel good, how it extends your life, how it improves the quality of your life. And I don't like to focus too much on the dark side, but it is important to connect with what is going on today. And when I spoke with these people on Wednesday, Sue Coe and Gary Steiner, I did connect with some of that. And then I listened to a YouTube video this morning of Philip Wolin, who's an Australian, and he recently did a debate about eating animals and getting animal foods off the table. And I highly recommend it if you Google Philip Wolin, W-O-L-L-E-N. I can actually give you the link here. It's kind of complicated, but I would just go to youtube.com and Google his name. It's a 10-minute video, and it's really empowering. But basically, he gets to all of the essential reasons why it's an imperative. It's, as Gary Steiner says, the vegan imperative to not kill animals, not to exploit them, because what's going on today is killing us and killing the planet. So please, when you have a chance, you can listen to my interview with Sue Coe and check out her book, Cruel. She uses her extraordinary art talents to create many, many visual pictures of factory farms, farms of animals, and she underlines that it's not just factory farming, it's all exploitation of animals that needs to end, period. And I really think that we're getting to a point where it's somewhat of an evolution of humanity, where some of us are realizing this importance and kind of, I don't want to put it this way, but I really think we are in some sort of metamorphosis and evolution where we're getting to a better place for humanity, and that place includes it includes kindness and compassion. It includes not exploiting humans. And we still, as humans, exploit other humans. Unfortunately, slavery still exists, and racism exists, and sexism exists, unfortunately. But we need to get above that. And at the same time, while we're getting to a place where we can embrace all humanity, we need to also get to that place where we can embrace other species and realize that we're all here sharing the same planet, the same air, the same water, the same short time on this earth. And I look forward, I may not be alive at that time, but I really believe the time will come where we get to that place, to that vision of not exploiting each other. Okay, so it's been an interesting week. So summer is now upon us. June 20th was the first day of summer. And of course, in New York, we had blistering heat starting out with the first day of summer. And a lot of things come to mind when we think of summer, and certainly food is a big important part of that, and barbecues are an important part of that, and unfortunately grilling flesh is an important part of that. We went to Coney Island a few days ago, and that's another image that many people have when they think of summer, because here in New York City, Coney Island, which is right off of the beach area of Brooklyn, is a very fun amusement park. It's been around for, maybe, I don't know how long, but decades, certainly as long as I've been alive. It's very well known for its famous roller coaster, the Cyclone. And it's a place where people go in the summer because it's right there on the beach. So you can go to the boardwalk, you can go on the beach, and then you can take advantage of all the great rides. It's recently been renovated with lots of new rides, but there's still that old flavor with a lot of the vendors that have been there for a long time, including Nathan's Hot Dogs. And we were there the other day, and Nathan's is very big and has a very big presence there. And the hot dog, unfortunately, lives on there at Coney Island. And we went, and some of the people that I was with really were looking forward to having a hot dog. And as you may know, hot dogs are made from, most often, from cow and cow parts. There are other hot dogs today that are made from turkey. Some people think they're healthy, but they're not really. And fortunately, today we have vegetarian and vegan versions of hot dogs. And I want to say that they're not the healthiest option. They're not on the same level as kale or onions or mushrooms or all, any of those great minimally processed plant foods that are just out of the ground and we can just toss them around, maybe do a little light cooking to them. But the vegan hot dog is a really excellent alternative and extremely satisfying when you're craving the traditional summer dog, either in a ballpark or at a picnic or at Coney Island. Now, of course, when we're at these places, we don't have control, and I didn't see a vegan or vegetarian hot dog option at Nathan's, but when we went home, we had our own version of a vegan hot dog, and it was really, really incredible. I made, from scratch, a gluten-free hot dog bun, which was made from rice flour, tapioca, and garbanzo bean flour. And if you're interested in that, it was really super easy to make, and you have to have all the ingredients, of course, and that's what makes it quick when you have all of those things. But you can get the recipe at responsibleeatingandliving.com. And if you've got some nice sauerkraut, some good mustard, relish, and one of those great vegan hot dogs, you're good to go. Now, what I like to do when I cook those veggie meats that you want to make them look like they're grilled, it's really handy to have, if you're not going to put them on a barbecue, to have a grill pan. And what I use is a cast iron pan. It's got the ridges on it. I used to use a Teflon grill pan, but I don't use anything with Teflon anymore because we know that that's not a healthy option and should be avoided. And I have a number of cast iron pots, and I really, really enjoy them. They're inexpensive. They're very easy to maintain, and they work very well. And what's great is you can take your veggie dog, you can boil them if you want. They're pretty much pre-cooked, and the point is to just heat them up. And boiling them is one way. Microwaving them is another way, although we avoid using the microwave. We don't have one at home. You can fry them in a frying pan or bake them. There's just a variety of different ways to make them. But I think the ideal way is on one of these grill pans because then you get the nice grill marks. And I think it brings the flavor out the best way. So that's how I recommend doing it. And then, like I said, a nice sauerkraut, good mustard, and the hot dog bun. And you're good to go. And there's no reason, I don't know why Nathan's Famous doesn't have a vegan dog on their menu, but you know what? They will. I know they will. I did go to their website because I was wondering if we had the opportunity to eat there, if there was anything at all that we might want to get. And I checked on their French fries, and fortunately, their French fries are all plant-based. But the website recommends that you should ask at the particular restaurant you're at to see if they fry meat in the same oil as the French fry. That would be the only thing that would cause it not to be completely vegan. On the other hand, I don't really have a taste for French fries anymore, at least not the kind that are served in these kinds of restaurants, because the oil is so overwhelming. You may not realize this, but when you make a conscious effort to reduce and eliminate the amount of oil that you use all of a sudden, when you taste food that is at least fried for the most part, it's really hard to eat a lot of it because you feel that oil all over your tongue, and it's really unpleasant. And then you feel it really heavy in your belly, also unpleasant. So what we like to do is we bake our fries, and they're so easy to make, just cutting up potatoes into a fry shape. You can use white potatoes or yams, sweet potatoes, all the same. We have a recipe for baked fries on the website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. You just toss them up on a baking sheet. You can put them on parchment paper and then on the baking sheet and cook them up at 400 degrees, occasionally going into the oven and tossing them around a bit. And that's really it. And they're so good. And you can really get the flavor of the potato. Of course, the best thing is to get organic. And I find that the organic versions of these potatoes are so flavorful. And you can have all of these wonderful summer treats that are nutritious and wholesome and good for you. Throw in a salad, and you've got a really fun, nice meal. Another great summer dish that we just added to the Responsible Eating and Living website is one of my favorites, which is called ratatouille. And it's from France, and it's a great way to use if you have a garden and you're growing zucchini and peppers and eggplants. There's a point in the season where they all tend to ripen and you have a lot of them. And this is a great dish to make when you have an abundance of those vegetables. And even if you don't, just to go to the store or the farmer's market and pick them up. And I've talked to many people and heard how people make their ratatouille. Some people go to a lot of trouble and go through a lot of steps. My way is really simple, and I find that it's very satisfying and delicious. When I lived in France and I would get a ratatouille at a restaurant, and many, many of the French restaurants have it as a side dish, especially in the southern Provence region. They usually do have a lot of olive oil in them, but it is guaranteed to be a vegan dish because it's just eggplant, peppers, tomatoes, zucchini, onions, herbs, and spices. And the herbs tend to be parsley, basil, thyme, rosemary. Those are the herbes de Provence. Sometimes you'll get some garlic in there. There are variations on ratatouille, but the traditional is really just those ingredients. When I make it, I used to use oil, but I don't even use oil anymore. And so I cook the slower cooking vegetables first, onions, then eggplant, and then I add in the zucchini and the peppers and the tomatoes, and it just cooks up into a lovely dish that you can serve over any whole grain like rice or millet. And then the leftovers, because it's great to make a lot, a big soup pot of ratatouille, because then you can chill the leftovers and have it cold on a really hot summer day. It's really, really lovely. The recipe that we included on the Responsible Eating and Living page is with a buckwheat crepe. And this is an extra French bonus where you can make the ratatouille filling and then make a very delicate, thin buckwheat crepe and put the filling inside it. It makes it somewhat elegant and really satisfying. Now, some people are a little challenged when making crepes because they're so thin, and without the egg to hold it together, it can be a little more difficult, especially with the crepe having the potential to tear. But what I do, and it's just something that I started doing recently, I use a base of garbanzo flour. And mixing garbanzo flour and water, I've mentioned this before, you can make something that's called soca, which is a garbanzo bean crepe. And garbanzo flour and water cooks up so easily, and you can get a really nice thin crepe out of it and it holds together really well. So what I do is I add the buckwheat flour to that, and the buckwheat flour has such a strong taste, such a strong flavor that it cuts through, and you have a really nice buckwheat crepe with garbanzo flour. It's gluten-free, and it's lovely. And you can make a lot of them and serve some up for a dinner and then have leftovers because they store and chill very well, and you can use them for a sweet crepe like a dessert, or oh, just so many different varieties that things that you can put in the crepe. You could put spinach and mushroom inside them. Use your imagination. It goes with so many lovely things. So it's summer. It's the beginning of summer. Kids are getting out of school and going to camp and other things. There is even camp for vegetarian adults. So if you're new to being a vegetarian, there's a great event that goes on outside of Pittsburgh called Vegetarian Summer Fest. It's about 5 days, and it's an intensive program where you're on the campus of this university and you get to choose. There's all these different talks going on for 3 or 4 days and events. It's a great way to network with people. I think it's a particularly good event if you're new to this because you can learn a lot really quickly and mingle with a lot of people that are either at the same point you are or maybe a little ahead. And that goes on, I think it's the first week of July usually, so it should be coming up pretty soon. What's great is there are more and more vegetarian and vegan events going on. We just recently had a few vegan festivals here in New York. Well, I'm not here in New York right now. I'm in Cape Cod. And I wanted to mention is one of the challenges that people have that when they're going through this transition is the whole social scene. That's why going to events like these vegetarian and vegan festivals or going to Vegetarian Summerfest or any other meetup, there are now vegan drinks and the meetups that go on. This is really an opportunity to boost your confidence and reinforce the feelings that you have and the things that you're doing, because as you're going through this transition, you're going to get a lot of people that are going to be pushing back at you and in some ways looking down or being really inquisitive and can put you on the defensive. And so when you go to events like this, you get to realize that there are more and more people that that feel like you do. You're not alone in this. And you learn more and more. So it's really important to reach out. Now, if you don't have the opportunity, if there isn't something in your neighborhood, well, that's why there are shows like this. And you can certainly email questions, if you have questions, if you need information. The email for me is info@realmeals.org, and I am really happy to dialogue at any time, anyone that has questions about health and nutrition and the vegetarian diet. Or during this show, you can Skype at Ask a Vegan. Ask a Vegan, all one word, or with spaces. You can register and connect with me on Skype, and we can talk via Skype. So there's lots of opportunities. There's lots of ways to find community and really find the support that you need to get to this incredible place where you're not contributing to the problem, or you're not a part of the problem. You're a part of the solution, and you're feeling really, really good about it. So we're here in Cape Cod. And that brings to mind a little song that I'm going to sing right now, a little song a cappella. If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here and there, you're sure to fall in love with old Cape Cod. If you like the taste of a lobster stew, and that's where I'm going to stop right there because it's the lobster stew. So here we are in Cape Cod, and the first thing that comes to mind for most people is lobster and seafood, fish, my favorite dish. Lots of songs about eating fish. And unfortunately, many people think that it's a good thing to eliminate red meat from the diet, but that fish is a healthy food. The first thing that I don't understand is why are people okay with taking a lobster live and putting it in boiling water? Think about it. It's such a horrible sight. Okay, we can't hear them screaming. If we did, would that make a difference? I would hope it would make a difference for most people, but somehow seeing them struggle doesn't make a difference. But we do that. And I often wonder why. So the unfortunate thing is there are more and more people on the earth, and more people are eating fish, and we've come up with these ways to literally empty the ocean in order to get the few fish that we want to eat, but at the same time we're killing all of these other fish that are just bycatch, things that we kill or wound and put back into the ocean, and we're getting to a very, very difficult place. A place where more species are becoming extinct. Now, the thing about lobster is that it's not a healthy food. I believe it's pretty high in cholesterol, like shrimp, and we drown it in butter. And that's probably what people really enjoy about the lobster. It's either served in a very high-fat butter sauce or a very high-fat cream sauce, like a lobster Thermidor or any lobster stew is typically very, very rich. You know, you can have similar types of food that are plant-based, really, because certainly you can have the sauce part of any creamy dish. We have lots of vegan butter varieties that come pretty close in flavor and texture to butter, but I think they're better because when I smell butter today, and I haven't eaten it in so long, it doesn't smell good to me, and I'm sure it wouldn't taste good. It has a sweetness that I find very unappetizing at this point. But it could be, it's really hard to say, but it really could be all of the voices that I have in my head today. And that's part of what makes food appealing. It's what we hear in our head. It's what's been put in our head either by our own consciousness scripting what we say to ourselves, but more often than not, it's from what we hear in our own circles, from our family, from our friends, and from commercials, from school. And all of those voices contribute to what goes on in our head and contributes to what we reach out for and contributes to what we think tastes and smells good. I know that when I walk in my neighborhood or in other neighborhoods and I pass a restaurant that makes a lot of fast food or uses a lot of oil and tends to reuse the oil. You know that smell? That smell of old, reused cooking oil for French fries or fried fish or any other fried food. You know that smell? That smell to many people is appetizing, and they go in the restaurant and they order up a big dish of fried food. Well, to me, that smell is so unappealing. I feel it right in my gut. And it's interesting how two people can react completely differently to certain smells. And I like to tell people that they can change foods that they think are so appetizing and find so hard to resist. You definitely can get to a place where those foods will not be appealing. It takes time. It takes re-scripting. It takes effort. I like to say that it's not hard to do. I know for some people it is hard, but we can all get to a place. You know, I think anything that's going to feel really good, anything that we're going to be proud of, takes effort. It's not going to feel like an accomplishment or something that makes ourselves feel really proud if it was easy. You know the expression, no pain, no gain. We're here to work. We're here to be challenged. We're here to grow and change. And so it's good for things to be a little challenging. And when you get to a place where one day you think, oh, I used to think that smelled really good, and now it doesn't, you can pat yourself on the back and say you've done a really good job. You've gotten to a better place, and you've done something really good for you. You've done something really good for the planet. I talk to people from time to time who are going through serious illness like cancer, and I am more than happy to speak to anyone who wants to hear my story and what I have to share about healing, because I put together a package that was very successful for me, and I really believe it can be successful for anyone who applies it to themselves in order to heal, if they really want to heal and live a long, quality life. And it never ceases to amaze me or surprise me the responses that I get or the things that people believe because of what they hear either from commercials or from their doctor or wherever they get their health information. The one thing that I tell people to start with, let me back up. I like to say, what do you think you should avoid eating? Or what's the one food that you really should avoid? And people know that I'm vegan, and the first response they're going to say is meat. And I tell them, dairy. It's the dairy food, you could call it liquid meat, some people do, but this is probably the top of my list of the worst thing you can put in your body, especially if you want to avoid cancer. And it's in so many things, but if you really want to heal and you really want to get well, you have to put on your reading glasses and read the ingredients that you find. Dairy is one of those ingredients that really equals cancer. We've seen it in so many studies, in so many different ways. And in some ways, I think it makes some sense. Here it is where taking the milk from a cow, from their reproductive sexual organ, it's like a breast, right? And is it no wonder that we have such an outbreak of breast cancer or other organs related to reproduction, sexual reproduction, the ovaries, the prostate? These are all connected. And somehow over 10,000 years, we've learned to think that dairy food is necessary in the human diet. Well, it isn't. And we're learning more and more that humans can live very well without it. Very well without it. And we do. And of course, there are some other foods that are important to avoid, including sugar. And something that really boggles my mind is when you go to a hospital for treatment, and here it is, they're giving you drugs, or they're giving you chemotherapy, or you've been through surgery, and then you're recovering, and they roll in your dinner. And rarely do you see anything health-promoting on the tray, and more often than not, most foods are what feed your illness. I had to literally fight when I was in the hospital getting recovering from surgery or chemotherapy or something related to my cancer treatment. To get something healthy was such a struggle. There are a few hospitals that offer improved diets, but for the most part, really difficult. They'll serve you pork. They'll serve you lots of things with sugar in them. And sugar feeds cancer. And that means sugar in white sugar, in sweet foods that are added to all kinds of foods, tomato sauce and cereals and just so many different things. But there are lots of fruits that are extra sugary too. And I don't avoid fruit today, but when I was going through treatment, I really made a conscious effort just to eat the berries, which are not very sweet and are full of lots of antioxidants and are really known for their anti-cancer fighting properties. But I didn't eat a lot of fruit other than the berries. I really believe this type of information should be integrated with our conventional allopathic medical techniques. And you see it in little pockets here and there, but it's really, really not enough at this point. We were invited to a birthday party last night, actually. And the wonderful thing about it was there were 10 of us for dinner, and it was all vegan. This is a rare event, but it does happen from time to time. And the funny thing is, you're sitting there, and you're being served, and there's this natural tendency to be a little suspect and want to ask the host, what is this, and what's in it, and what am I eating? Because you want to make sure you're not going to eat something that you don't want to eat. And fortunately, I knew everything was vegan, but also our host explained before every dish what it was that we were eating and what was in it. And when we make dinners, we like to do that too. We like to let people know what they're eating for lots of reasons. One, I think it's fun. And I always want to provide some sort of education when people are eating, because so many people don't have a clue what's in their food, and many, many people just aren't interested. But I think it's fun to know what's in a dish, and many times it's surprising to find out, oh, there's that? That's what that flavor is? Or how did you do that? But you can learn a lot about food and preparation and what's good for you and what makes things taste good. And I can't say enough how important it is to know what's in your food. But it was such a delight to be able to sit back and have an elegant dinner and not be concerned about any of it. And this is the wave of the future. One day we'll all be able to sit down for a dinner, and it will be completely cruelty-free. Now, the other thing that I continually think about is eating vegan today really is a privilege. And although I'm recommending all the time that people should be eating all organic food because we don't want pesticides and herbicides residues in our food, and we don't want to be connected to adding more toxic materials into the earth, and we don't want to support farmers and migrant workers and people that are working to pick and harvest the vegetables and do the planting be exposed to these toxic residues. And so that's why organic is so important. And yet, choosing to eat this way is a privilege. And I continually remind myself of that because there are so many people, a billion on the planet today, that go without enough food. And where I would like everyone to eat a healthy, nutritious, health-promoting, cruelty-free meal 3 times a day or as whatever is necessary to keep one sated and healthy, I recognize that it is not a possibility. It's a luxury to do that. And I'm grateful. And I just like to keep that in front of my mind. So I know it's not possible for everyone. And I just hope that one day it's the norm that we are all fed and we are all fed nutritious, cruelty-free food. What I like to do, one of the reasons why I like to do this show is for at least an hour once a week, I get to say out loud what I believe is important, because I think when we really put a voice to some of these thoughts about ending animal exploitation, about ending exploitation for all sentient beings, about nurturing the planet, I really believe it enters into a global consciousness. I really believe that somewhere inside all of us, we hear it, and it adds to this momentum, and more people pick it up and act on it. That's why we're seeing more people interested in organic food, more people interested in this alternative food movement. So that's what I'm doing here right now for a little while, putting this information out there. And what else can we talk about today? We don't have a car in New York. And again, I can say that it's a luxury in some ways because I happen to live in New York City, one of the few places in the United States where public transportation is really outstanding. But when we want to travel, often we rent a car. And today we did just that. So one of the things that was fun was bringing a bag of food with us because it's about a 5-hour trip. And one of the things that we did was we brought things to make sandwiches with. Basically, we just emptied out the perishable foods from the refrigerator that we weren't going to freeze and that wouldn't last. So I had some very ripe avocados and some baked tofu, and we grabbed a loaf of bread from the freezer. And a couple hours into the ride, I wanted to make some sandwiches, but the bread was still frozen. And you know, it's a hot day outside, so very simply, I kind of created the solar toaster, and I put a towel on the dashboard and put the bread there, and it warmed up very quickly and very nicely thanks to the sun. There are so many things that we can do with our creativity and our innovation if we just put our mind to it. Some things as simple as that. There are really simple solutions that are easy and are not going to take a lot of energy or any energy at all and aren't going to cause any damage in the process. We just need to use our noggins a little bit. Just a little bit. Well, You've been listening to Ask a Vegan, and basically this is my vacation week, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut this show a little short this week. But before I do, I want to let you know that we are going to be changing this program in a few months, and I'm going to come out with a preview very soon. But this show is going to be changing, and it's going to have a brand new format. I'm really excited about it, with songs and a few, how do I put it? Well, you'll see when we do it. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, if you haven't liked this on Facebook, please go to facebook.com, Responsible Eating and Living, and like us. And whenever you get a chance, send me an email at info@realmeals.org. I really love to hear about you. Tell me your story. Tell me how you got to where you are today, what you're excited about, and what you're challenged with. Because we're a community, and we really need to share this information. It's really, really important. So, thanks for listening. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to Ask a Vegan. Have a great week.
R-E-A-L.
Responsible eating, responsible eating, responsible eating and living.
R-E-A-L.
Reels, good for the planet, the inhabitants who need sound advice on the right thing to do.
When it comes to good health,
we need facts that are true, to choose what to eat and save the planet too. As responsible eating and living.
You'll find the real tools for you.